Again, I'm happy, we're happy to be here with you today and trust that as we share together, God will minister to us according to His own way and will. I want to read with you from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It's a very interesting insert as I kind of think of this particular passage into this chapter. Because when I was in Bible school, one of the things necessary to graduate was that you had to read the Bible through from the first book of Moses, got that right, on to the book of Revelation. And you were tempted that when you got to 1 Chronicles, the first 7 chapters, to skip over that. Because all you have are names, the son of this and this pedigree and all the rest of it. But very interesting that God in His infinite grace makes this insert in those 7 chapters of nothing but names. But let me read it for you. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I'm sure the Lord would bless the reading of His precious word. I feel a little funny in the Pharaoh without Zachariason by my side. Usually that's the posture. I'm here and he's there and gives me a little confidence, kind of, you know. As I mentioned, I've been amazed in this sudden introduction of this man. 2 verses, but filled with meaning and divine purpose, I am sure. Because when you read in this whole 7 chapters, you don't note any connection with Jabez or all the others. It's just as it were thrown in there. But of course, God has a purpose when He does things like this. Now, tradition tells us that Jabez was a lawyer. He was a lawyer, a doctor of the law, and had many scribes and learned men around him. Also, there is a town in chapter 2, verse 55, named after Jabez. So he eventually was a person of prominence. But I believe the divine purpose for introducing Jabez at this point, almost in the middle of these 7 chapters of names and people, that it's to say to us, it is not how we begin that matters, how we begin life that matters, but the end result. Because some of us start very badly, don't we? Some of us, our life for a while is in really terrible, but somewhere along the way, God touches us. I remember our first visit to the Pharaohs in Klaksvik. We were standing and watching the baptism, because when people got saved one night, the next night they were baptized. And I remember this gentleman standing there waiting to go down into the pool to be baptized. And the brother standing next to me and said, you see that man there? That's a work of grace. Because he was describing or suggesting the fact that that man's life was of such that it took a mighty manifestation of the grace of God to change him. And now he's standing there to be baptized. It doesn't matter how we begin in life, but the result of our life. And I believe that's what this passage would want to say to us. You think of John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader, a libertine as he was called. And matter of fact, the hymn that he wrote suggests how wicked he was. Amazing grace. I was told I have to be very careful, Zach told me this, in quoting poetry. Because it's difficult to translate, so my dear friends, I hope I... But he wrote, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was blind, I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. So it doesn't matter how we begin, how the first portion of our life is all about, is how it ends, the result. And there are many persons that I'm sure you have read about and know about, and their lives today, or ere they left time for eternity, there was a tremendous change. Now there are four features of Jabez's life. Four features of Jabez's life. He began with special sorrow. He was characterized by special piety. He was crowned with special peace and honor. He was successful in his undertakings. You cannot read the story in these two jam-packed verses without coming out with at least those four things about this young man. But note quickly with me, because whenever I preach, time and me are no friends. And so first of all, we want to note with you the circumstances of Jabez's birth. The circumstances of Jabez's birth. It says that he was born with sorrow. He was born with sorrow. His name means sorrow. His mother said she named him Jabez because she bore him with sorrow. And that's very interesting because, you know, when you go back to first book of Moses chapter 3, and when God judged man because of sin, one of the judgments was that the mother or the woman or Eve shall bear children with sorrow and pain. So you would think, those of you who are mothers would know what we're talking about. I'm a father of six children, and I felt anxiety, no pain, but my wife felt the pain. Because that's a natural thing for childbearing. So it couldn't mean that. It couldn't mean that she named him Jabez because she bore him with sorrow. Because that was a natural thing. Here, we believe, sorrow is suggestive of something else. Possibly at the death of his father. We read nothing about his father, just the mention about his mother. And so maybe his father had died in that time when his mother was expecting and whatever. Or possibly a time of a great national disaster. When you come to Amos chapter 1 verse 1, it talks about an earthquake. Also in Zechariah chapter 14, it talks about a great earthquake. It could have been during that time. I don't know. But obviously there was some kind of national disaster, I believe, that perhaps brought about this particular experience where he is called Jabez. Some have said that possibly it was because of some physical handicap. I understand that for the past month or so, here at your church, the ministry has been concerning brokenness and what God brings out of the experience of brokenness. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens in the life of an individual when they are called upon to go through certain mental and physical difficulties, when God has to break us and seek to work in us that He might bring out of us what is necessary in the fulfillment of His will. It's amazing how God does that. But He does. He does. Because it is His desire that we become the best for Him, that our life indeed would count for Him. I understand that William Wilberforce, he was the lawyer that had a lot to do with the abolition of slavery in the British Isles. He died very young, but he had a passion to see people free, especially the black people that were then slaves. But he was very sickly. This is why he died kind of young. He was very sickly. And matter of fact, the day he was buried, I understand, I hope I'm remembering, but some of you might have read that history. The day he was buried, or the day after he was buried, the law was passed for the abolition of slavery. But he, out of that life, they said that he looked like a human corkscrew. You know, the screw that you turn and screw down into the cork of a bottle to open the bottle. So he looked like a human corkscrew. So impacted was the circumstances of his life upon his person. But it's out of that kind of difficulties and situations that God brings out of this man such a passion that people like me could be free. Naturally, but thank God, the greatest freedom that I have known and all of us have known is the freedom from the burden of sin, from being lost forever. Thank God for that freedom. And so, he was called Jabez. And this was to mark an unforgettable experience. Perhaps you know what I'm talking about. Something happened in your life that you've never been the same. And I believe my visit to the Faroe Islands was such an experience for me. I have never been the same in relation to ministry after coming here 48 years ago. Now, I know I don't look much older than that. But 38 years ago, I came to the Faroe Islands. And it was an experience that changed my life and ministry. And there are those situations. I think of Abraham. There was an experience in Abraham's life that he never forgot. He was not allowed to forget it. Because when the angels, or the Lord Jesus, I believe, a Christophany in the Old Testament, when he said to Abraham, Sarah shall have a son, shall bear a son to you, Abraham. Sarah laughed. Remember that? And she burst in laughter because she says, but my old man is 99 and I'm too far away from that. And you mean to tell me I'm going to have a son, I'm going to have a child? But it was an experience that was marked. Chapter 17 and verse 17 of the first book of Moses. God said to Abraham, Abraham, thou shalt have a son. He says, shall I, 100 years of age, and my wife is 90 plus, shall we have a son? Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, not Israel, but Isaac. Abraham laughed, and God never allowed him to forget. And even today, we have not been able to forget because the name Isaac means laughter. So every time they called Isaac, they remembered that they laughed when God said. But it marked a memorable situation. And God does that. And I believe this happened here in this young man's life. It was never to forget when Benjamin was being born. Benjamin's mother was dying. And the Bible says, as her soul was in departing, Benjamin was born, but she called him Benoni, Benoni, speaking of sorrow in which she bore him. Jacob called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand, but it marked an experience that we have never been able to forget. But God does that in our lives because He wants to bring out of our life that which is good. I don't know what you've gone through, what your experience has been, but God does that. But very quickly, note with me, not only the fact of the circumstances surrounding Jabez's birth, because that's all well and good, but our interest really is to see what we could benefit from the story itself. And so we note the character displayed by this man. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. So he was outstanding because I did mention that one of the features of his life, that he was a man of piety. He was a man of spiritual outstandingness. People knew that he had a spiritual relationship with God. This was displayed, however he manifested that. And so we note the character that he displayed. He was more honorable than his brethren. He was a man of faith. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of his of Israel. You don't call upon God if you don't believe in God. Amen. You don't call upon God if you do not believe in God. And so he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. And this means that he had a personal relationship with God. Because this is how that relationship begins. By faith. And if you are here and you're not a Christian, you do not have a relationship with God. But you can have. You can have a relationship with God by personally surrendering your heart and life to Christ. Oh, that's the wonderful experience that you can come into even today by asking the Lord Jesus to come into your life. Because after all, that's the only thing that's going to matter when you change time for eternity. That's the only thing that matters, friend. You could be as popular, you could be as successful as anybody, but when you come to die, as I was saying, driving here, we were talking about the economy, how it affected the entire world. The world has changed because of the decline in the economy. And I said, you know, we are living now in a global village. I mean, the Bible says no man lives unto himself and no man dies unto himself. And that has been manifested especially during the downturn in the economy. It was an international, had an international impact. Crises in the Middle East in relation to the oil, through the demonstrations in Egypt and and Libya and those crises up there in the Middle East impacting the entire world. Back in the Bahamas, oh gracious be! I drove to the filling station to get some gasoline, petrol, whatever you call it, and they have two sections. One, a self-service pump. Now, the self-service is cheaper. And of course, you pay the regular price if you are being served. And so usually, I try to make my way to the self-service one. And back in the Bahamas, the gas is $5 and $5 and 7 cents. So you calculate that. Expensive.
sense.
But the whole world is impacted by these things. And so we live in a global village. And whatever happens, all of us are touched. But my friends, the only thing that makes the difference in our lives is our relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to make certain that you have that. You need to make certain that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in glory. You need to know that. You need to make certain that it is there. And so he was a man of faith. And as I mentioned, this means he had a personal relationship with God, because this is how the relationship begins. And this relationship, of course, gave meaning to his life. He's seeking spiritual matters. He's seeking to have God regulate his life. And he knows if God protects him, if God guides him, if God preserves him in relation to the evils of this world, he knows that life is going to be a blessing for him. And so this particular relationship gives meaning to his life. You know what I'm talking about, right? Being a Christian has given meaning to your life. Most certainly it has given meaning to my life. I tell folk, usually I'm invited to speak to places like rehab centers, and where drug addicts and alcoholics are there for help. And I say to them, because sometimes there are folk who feel that preachers were brought up with, like Yipan, you know, I mean, he was brought up and his daddy was a preacher and he was pampered and they feel that, you know, preachers just come up without much trouble. So I try to let them know, but that ain't true, right, Yipan? That ain't true. Preachers' children live in the sinful world like anybody else. And they have trouble just like anybody else. And they sin just like anybody else until they are saved. And I say to them, I was drunk for the first time at the age of 12. And I took my last drink 3 months before I became a Christian, and I got saved at the age of 21. You do the math. So, you know, and I let them know, you know, I was not an angel on vacation. I was a sinner, just like you. But God saved my life. God changed my life. And has given me purpose. He can do the same for you. And so this relationship with God gives purpose to life. It determines. Or this relationship gave determination in his life. He was determined to live a successful life before God. Fanny Crosby became blind very early in life. I understand she was very, very, very young when she became blind. But out of that experience of tragedy, sometimes we will refer to it, God brought out some of the sweetest hymns sung today, bestseller. She wrote those hymns. But out of that experience of being blind, not being able to see colors and to see people, but out of that life, she became such a songster, such a prolific writer of poetry. And they were set to him. This relationship gave responsibility for life, to live for the Lord. If you are a Christian, the Bible says we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And beloved, we're living in a corrupt society, and the salt needs to work. We need to be salty Christians, as I put it. You know, it wasn't until I came to the Faroe Islands that I noted what it meant for the salt to lose its savor. Until that time, I only know about salt, you cook with it and so forth, but I was in Clapton.
And I went out. I was taken out by a couple of brothers working in the fish house on the dock, where they salted the fish. And I saw this person shoveling the salt, putting into the wheelbarrow, and filling the wheelbarrow, and then rolling it and dumping it in the sea. So I said, "What are you throwing the salt away for?" He said, "It has lost its savor. No more good. It has the saltiness had been utilized in the fish, and so this is no good. Lost its savor. And you and I are the salt of the earth. If you are a Christian, and you don't need to lose your savor, we are the light of the world. And I'd like to emphasize the fact that you know you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, and are is a being verb." And it's a verb that cannot change. That's what you are. So you're either good salt or bad salt. Or a good light or a bad light. And so it's very important. I'm going to close. He was a humble man. He recognized that he could do nothing without God. That's why he comes to God. And he prays to God to enlarge his coat and to bless him. And to preserve him, because he realized he could not do it himself. And when you and I are out of our brokenness, as God would bring us down, that we might realize that we are nothing in his sight, and we are dependent exclusively on him, it is then that the word of God says he dwells with the humble. That he dwells with the humble. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? That he... Thank you, brother. It is with the humble. It is with the humble that he dwells. Loves to dwell with the broken, with those who realize that they can't get along without God. Jabez realized that. He realized he could not be successful without God. And so he said, "Oh God, oh God," he says. Can't you feel the pathos of his heart? And verse 10, as he says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast." Oh, the deep, deep burden and desire of his heart. To be all that God would have him to be. Is that true with you? When Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 1, or 1 Timothy, and chapter 6, and I think it's verse 20, he said, Oh, Timothy, I want you to hold on to these things. These things would put you in good standing tomorrow, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And so, oh, Timothy, hold on to them. You can't live successfully without them. Timothy, he says, oh, Timothy. And oh, I plead with you today, like Jabez cried, may from your heart comes the call for God's blessings upon your life, that you might be a blessing to others for him. He was a humble man. He was a man of vision. Without vision, people perish. When you have a connection with God, a deep relationship with God, he shows you things that he doesn't always show to others. That's true. Shall I hide from my servant Abraham what I am about to do unto Sodom and Gomorrah? God didn't get up, or Jesus, I believe it was, didn't get up and broadcast it to the world. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He had determined he was going to do that. But shall I hide from my servant Abraham? You see, there are certain things God shares with us. When we are close to him, when we allow him, as the emphasis has been here for the past months or so, when we allow him to deal with us as he alone is able to do, that he might extract from us the kind of commitment, the kind of love and surrender that
that affords him the opportunity to be able to share more intimately with us. I don't know if you've had the experience, but there are those who testify to having certain experiences. And I remember a man saying to me that for 2 o'clock one morning, he was awakened out of his sleep. Just like someone hit him and told him, get up and pray. And when he awoke, this name came to his mind and he became so burdened and he fell on his knees and he cried out to God. God shares with his children, those who are close to him. He cried out to God for this person until the burden was lifted. Some months later, he was at a place and this gentleman was there. He was a lawyer. And he said to the lawyer, he said, tell me, at such and such a day, at such and such an hour, were you having some difficulty? He said, yeah. I was vacillating between life and death. The doctors said it's touch and go. He was under the most difficult and serious surgery that a man could have, apparently at that time. And it was that time God touched this man. One was in the United States in the hospital, in the theater. And the other one was in his bed back in the Bahamas. And God woke him up. Because shall I hide from my servant Abraham? The secrets of God are revealed to them that follow him. The Bible says that. And so then, this man was a man of vision. He was a man of vision. I close. I just want us very quickly to note the content of his prayer. Very quickly. I know you are longing for that roast lamb today. And we shan't keep you from it too long, okay? All right. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. The word God is Elohim. And Elohim, of course, is the plural form of the word God. And it means the all-powerful one. So he realized that what he desired, only God can do it. And as Paul says when he wrote to the Ephesians, he's able to do far exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. That's God. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. And so he prayed to the mighty God, the great, the sufficient one. He prayed for God's blessing. Bless me indeed. Not satisfied. He was not satisfied with the way things were in his life. Are you that way? Are you satisfied to just be a Christian? Oh, I am not. I am not. I say to folk, when I was a younger believer, I said, you know, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm not going to be a half-hearted Christian. And however that manifests itself, it doesn't have to manifest itself in me being a preacher. You can be like Brother Lawrence. I don't know if you know that name, but Brother Lawrence comes from a man, I think he lived in the 18th century, and he was a cook and a bottle washer in a restaurant. But as he moved about, he got the distinction of being a man of God. As he washed the dishes, as he turned those pancakes, he got the distinction that he was a man of God. And so you know, you don't have to be a preacher, but be a Christian. Be determined that you are going to follow the Lord come what may. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. He prayed for the blessings of God because he was not satisfied with the way things were. He wanted more. He prayed for prosperity. Enlarge my coast or border. He prayed for spiritual victory that thy hand might be with me. He's praying. He's talking to God.
He realizes that if the hand of God is with him, then there will be victory. There will be victory. And he prayed for protection from the efforts of evil, which draws us from God, which hinders communion with God, which affects our usefulness for God. He prays that he might protect him from evil. Wonderful prayer. Wonderful prayer. And of course the result, very simple. And God granted him that which he requested. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if I should mention this, because it's not a nice thing to be talking about yourself. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, let somebody else praise you, the Bible says. But let me just share this with you as I close. I came down from my study one morning and to get ready to go on the road to do some ministerial duties, as I refer to them. And when I got in my car, it would not start. Now, she was doing that quite a bit. She was old, or it was old, and not my wife. And this morning I had to go, so I jumped in the car, turned the key, nothing. Absolutely nothing. She was as dead, as we say in the Bahamas, as a doornail. I hope you can translate that. But it was dead. And so I went upstairs in my study and I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I need a car. I need a car. I've had it with this. And I talked to him because I knew he's the only one could supply the preacher with a car. No offense, not with the preachers. And so I finished praying. This was perhaps like Monday or Tuesday, can't remember the date. But Thursday I got a call. I got a call from a car dealer. And the car dealer said to me, he said, Brother Tom, I said, this is he. He said, I got some good news for you. Because there's so much bad news, he said. He said, I need to see you. And so I asked him when he was going for lunch. He said, 12 o'clock. And I told him I'd get there before he goes for lunch. And then I went and got there. And he said, I got a call. I got a call from one of the islands requesting me to give you a new brand car. And they said to me, I want you to make certain that he drives that car to church on Sunday. So I said, hallelujah. That's God. That's God. God granted his request. That's what it simply says in relation to Jabez. And God granted that which he requested. Would you bow for prayer with me, please, as we close the service? I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know what God is saying to you at this time. I don't know the struggles you are having as you've listened to me this morning, as the Holy Spirit has been ministering. I don't know. But you know. And he's only speaking to you because he wants to bless you. He wants to meet that need in your heart, in your life. That's what he wants to do. But he can't do it unless you allow him to. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to talk to the Lord right now for a moment or so and tell him what your desire is right now as we bow for prayer. While the Spirit of God is ministering to, maybe you're not a Christian and you want to get saved. Oh, that's a noble desire. Talk to him about that. Tell him, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you have some other difficulty in your life, sickness, whatever. Talk to him right now. Thank you, Father, for this brief story of Jabez, compacted in these two verses. Thank you for lessons we may learn from this life that seems to strut across the stage of life and then heard of no more.
We pray then that you would use what has been said in the Spirit to bring lasting blessing in every heart and every life. In Jesus' precious name.